Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Brad Harbin. How are you doing, Brad?
Hey, Kyle. I'm doing great, man. I'm just recovering from a little family time, little family vacation, recovering from the weekend of the football. But doing great, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're already heading into week two, right? It's here. The season's here. We've started, and yeah, it's underway. So the grind and the hustle begins.
Absolutely.
So yeah, doing great.
Good. Yeah, I imagine you've been pretty busy. So yeah, good.
Yeah. Just doing a bit of research as early as the games were started. Really, actually, I mean, as early as Friday morning, just looking at the Thursday night game. So just a few things to kind of touch on early in the season. We typically do matchups and lineup kind of more centric things preview, but this is kind of an episode where we'll talk about how to approach the waiver wire for week one. And
I mean, it's certainly an important one for everyone, I imagine. I mean, I know I was affected by the Dak injury and the Dak lack of production, turn into injury, and that, but there's some more out there. I mean, with Elijah Mitchell going down for a few weeks, but there's definitely been some eye openers as well. I mean, Curtis Samuel, who really saw that one coming out? I mean, I know I had a few shares of him last year, kind of anticipating a start like he did against Jacksonville this week, but is that something that can be sustained? I mean, it's kind of hard to see, but I think it's something we can certainly talk about.
Yeah, well, just on Curtis Samuel real quick. I know I've got him in one league. Funny enough, that's one of the leagues where I have Dak, and actually don't really have a QB3 on the team that's a starter. There's like Gardner Minshew, maybe probably a Tyrod Taylor and Andy Dalton. Right. Like, I got a lot of backups in case someone gets hurt, but Dak got hurt. So I'm pretty sure I've got both Cooper Rush and Will Greer. So I've got a starter. It probably won't be a great starter considering that because unfortunately Dak was also not playing well before his injury. Struggles with the offensive line, it seems. Now they also won't end up playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers front seven every week. So at least there's that, but still some concerns on that offensive line. Absolutely. And concerns with the receivers. CeeDee Lamb and Noah Brown as a 1-2 punch, not the most potent thing. Eventually Gallup will be back, and that will get better. And obviously Dak will be back and healthier, but for now it's a little bleak for the Cowboys, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did have an opportunity to watch that game, and I was talking with a friend. I was like, man, I never thought that they would really feel like they really missed Amari Cooper. Maybe it's his, his leadership or the tough yards that he would get over the years, but he definitely, the offense was definitely different with him not being there. There's a lot of question marks, not just a quarterback on that offense for sure.
Yeah. So something to look to, like, I wouldn't, if Dak's injured and it's in super flex league, it's going to be tough to find other starters. They're probably mostly all rostered. So you may have to go for, maybe a Joe Flacco is available or something like that. But in single quarterback, I would look to other team starters first. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, those types of starters that probably didn't get drafted. Marcus Mariota, everyone's worried about if Desmond Ridder's going to take over. And, Mariota got the rushing touchdown, looked okay, decent for fantasy. So someone that could pick up to hold, as opposed to, say, picking up Cooper Rush or Will Greer, whoever ends up being. The weird thing with Dallas to read was that both players got cut, didn't make the initial 53-man roster, and they didn't have a backup quarterback, but Cooper Rush, it looks like, was activated from the practice squad yesterday, or before the game, so as to be the backup in-game. I guess their likely plan was maybe going to send him up and down. Obviously, he was the guy they viewed as the better of the two options, so it would lead to think Cooper Rush is probably going to start, but, I mean, what's the leash like with Will Greer? It almost does seem like you got to be really desperate to play him, like I am, where, again, the next best option is Gardner Minshew, who isn't starting. So, I would look to other quarterbacks first. It would be my advice on Dak. And to any, like George Kittle, for instance. So this is something that would have had to deal with last week. And I think it sort of played out this way. And, I mean, that game, the 49ers, Bears, a lot of rain, almost a monsoon. not in terms of how much rain was coming down at once, but that it was just constant throughout the whole morning up to the game, during the game. So the field was soaked. It's tough to get much from that, but there wasn't one. There weren't really many pass attempts, but not really one tight end showed themselves. And kind of surmised, I wondered if you'd be better off picking up wide receiver Juwan Jennings than it was to take any of the tight ends. So, you know, in that instance, like when a tight end gets hurt, it may not be the backup tight end is the best replacement. It might be a starting tight end on another team that's going to use them. They may not use the backups the way one particular tight end gets used. So I think I know tight ends is really where I want to start, because I always draw interesting conclusions, I guess, right away from who's getting targets right from week one.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I know it's your favorite topic. I know you're excited to talk about tight ends, but I can see where it's, you know, a little different, because it is after week one. You're talking about the waiver wire, you know, who didn't perform, who saw some targets, who didn't, you know, are there any surprises, anything like that? So I can see where you're pretty excited about this, Kyle.
Yeah. I actually was excited to talk tight ends. Wow. Imagine that. Because some interesting things. So first off, it's funny how, and this is pending, we're recording this right during Monday Night Football, and mm-hmm. it looks like Okwuegbunam, when I last checked, had two catches. So I'm not sure if that was on two targets or three or four, but that really what I am looking for is the targets. And it's maybe not so surprising to me, but it's funny kind of where the cutoff lines were. So what did I have it at? Sorry, I had the number earlier. Let me just quickly. Yeah, sorry. 58 different tight ends got targets, again, without Monday Night Football. So, you know, that's at least 60 So Andrew Beck, Albert Okwuegbunam, Will Disley, Noah Fant. So that's 62. 62 tight ends with targets this week. And only 12 of those 62 had more than six targets. And it's funny. You know, only 14 had five or more.
Yeah.
The guys with four targets, there were 22. And then it gets a lot bigger from there. There's a lot with two and one in particular. So just to kind of look at that from the top, it was the first two names on the list are probably surprising. Tyler Higbee had 11 targets and Pat Freiermuth had 10. Now there's maybe some context there, especially with Higbee. It was okay. They're playing a tough defense, needing to dump off a lot. There's also new receivers. Van Jefferson was out. So there's some context there. One thing about Higbee though, you know, I like chasing the 11 targets and right. going after them and picking them up if he's available, but he had 11 targets and he had 38 yards on those 11 targets. Like really was inefficient completely, but again, bad, really bad defensive matchup for the Rams. Seems like that Bills defense might be a team to avoid for fantasy through the, most of the season. We'll see, unless it's a truly elite offense, it's could get ugly. But then Freiermuth with 10 targets. So we were, you know, it seems like it, you know, and I'll pull up the Steelers in general, but it seems like what I had believed before the season, Deontay would still be the one. It looks like that held true, but maybe not as obvious in one direction as I thought. So Deontay had 12 targets and Pat Freiermuth had 10 targets. Wow. Freiermuth actually had more yards, 75 yards compared to 55 for Deontay. So interesting, a couple big plays, but yeah, it's looking like the immediate return is who is going to be the number two behind Deontay. Again, assuming Deontay was the one, was it going to be Chase Claypool? Was the rookie George Pickens going to be there? I mean, last year's offense, it was Najee Harris, who I think was second on the team in targets, but turns out it was the tight end Freiermuth. That we'll see if that's just a one game matchup, something about the Bengals defense, but right off the bat, it looks like Trubisky has that connection with Freiermuth. So I think Freiermuth's probably drafted in most leagues, so he's not someone that you're going to probably be able to go pick up, but Tyler Higbee might be out there.
Might be.
That'd be, you know, certainly at the top of the list of players to go pick up. And again, Higbee and Freiermuth, the only two tight ends with double digit targets in week one.
Yeah. I mean, when it came to Higbee, I snuck him in at the last moment on Thursday night. Not necessarily with the Bills defense. I was just kind of thinking of Matty Stafford's arm strength and that he's, you know, going to have some struggles pushing it down the field. I was actually very impressed with Cooper Kupp's output. Just wow. But Higbee getting 11 targets, is, I mean, I was kind of blown away. Granted, he only had, what, six catches, I think, or something like that. So, I mean, Stafford was a little bit off base, and you already mentioned the lack of yardage, but it does I mean, it could have been just a matchup thing. I didn't know if it had anything to do with Stafford, you know, really, I guess, not necessarily having the time to push it down the field or the arm strength. But yeah, I'm sure Higbee's floating around there in some of the leagues. I know I have him in a couple places, as I mentioned. But yeah, I mean, that was a surprise to see double digits from him for sure.
And so just continuing on those target list. So yeah, mentioned Higbee and Freiermuth at the top. Travis Kelce and Dalton Schultz both had 9 targets. And the one thing about Schultz is, you know, we talked about already with the Cowboys offense that could be get scary. But if he is going to lead the team in targets like he did in week 1, just pure volume wise, I still feel pretty solid playing him. Now, you know, again, maybe, you know, if you were I wouldn't pick up Higbee at the sake of dropping Schultz.
No.
If you had another player that you felt okay dropping, maybe could roster 2 tight ends, but Schultz is not the type of guy I'd want to drop, even with the quarterback concerns, just because, again, 9 targets, and yeah, he's going to get a different quarterback. Who knows how the targets are distributed, but if the worry is the lack of weapons for the Cowboys, it's pretty obvious he and CeeDee Lamb are going to be the top 2 targets. So yeah. It's scary with Schultz. This is not going to be a great offense, not going to be a lot of efficiency, but if you need solid floor performances from a tight end, I think he'll be able to at least get the volume.
Yeah, I think he could be a little bit more of a safety blanket for whichever quarterback is there. So, I mean, I don't really see that target share changing too much necessarily. I mean, I feel more positive about him than I do the receivers in Dallas, for sure.
Now, number 5 on the tight end target list from week 1. This is a surprising name, probably the most surprising we've seen.
Sure.
Hayden Hurst had 8 targets. And especially with the new, you know, the news during the game that T. Higgins suffered a concussion, he had to leave. So that opened up a lot more targets for everyone else. But yeah, it looks like Hayden Hurst, and I talked about this in the offseason, right? Was the idea of going late on tight ends is so you can be aggressive, and when the opportunity is there, pick up the guy right away from week 1. If Hayden Hurst is already getting 8 targets with this offense, and you know they're already dealing with injuries,
right,
I could see it continuing even once Higgins is back. So I think Hayden Hurst, to me, even over Tyler Higbee, would be the pickup at tight end this week.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Definitely, Kyle. I mean, Hurst certainly has the athleticism to make some plays. He's shown it in the past. And then, week 1, I mean, you were certainly telling me some stuff because I missed a lot of the games this weekend, but I'm happy to see the Hayden Hurst name, you know, kind of flare up. I mean, he certainly has the capability to be a difference maker. I mean, even more so than CJ Uzman. Help me out with that.
Uzoma.
Yeah, that. Thank you. So I mean, he went off and got paid by the Jets, but I think Hurst, I think his route tree and his speed, his ability to get down the field is going to be a benefit to the Bengals. Hearing about T. Higgins as well, I mean, I think that's I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen this coming up week, but I mean, it certainly seems like a Hurst, put his flag down to be a part of this, potential high powered offense. Obviously they struggled on Sunday, but I mean, there's lots of games to go, and he could be someone to keep an eye on. And I would lean towards him over Higbee in the waiver wire personally.
Yeah, assuming that all the names we think are already rostered are in fact rostered, Hurst to me is the number one pickup at tight end this week.
Yes, definitely.
You know, and I'll in my weekly ranking next week, he's going to be in my top 12. And he, you know, I'm thinking, you know, obviously Kelce, Andrews, Pitts, probably Waller will for sure be ahead of him. Hawkinson as well. You know, we talk about Schultz on the volume, Freiermuth. Tough to not have Hurst in the top 10 next week for tight ends. Honestly, those are about all the names I could possibly rank ahead of him. So I'm going to be, Really aggressive trying to get Hurst on some teams this week, on some other teams where I'm willing to move off completely on tight ends that didn't get the targets. And, you know, usually it's my comparison. Is there a tight end in free agency that had more targets than the tight end I have on my roster? And, you know, Hurst got more targets than Mark Andrews, Hockenson, Pitts, and Waller. Now, for Andrews, Hockenson, and Pitts, that was one target more. Like, and you're not dropping those guys for Hurst. Like, seven targets is still pretty good, right? Like, that's the good threshold. But I'd say, honestly, anyone with less than six targets, if your tight end had less than six targets week one and Hayden Hurst available, I have no problem dropping that tight end for Hayden Hurst. I'd be willing to put, good chunk of fab. I don't usually love spending fab on tight ends, but for Hayden Hurst, 10% fab, I think I'd be willing to spend. I don't know if 10% is enough. Maybe it is. Because the one thing too, he got a goal line carry. Like, he had a rushing attempt from inside the five. So, or a red zone carry. Like, it was close to the goal line where he almost scored on it, to be honest. So, like, not just targets, like, they're finding, like, they found creative ways to get the ball in his hand. So I think Hurst is a great pickup this week.
Yeah. I mean that there shows his athleticism, his versatility in that offense. And they're going to try and get him the ball when they can. So yeah, that's
now we talk about, former teammates, right? Hayden Hurst is former teammate on the Raven. Mark Andrews had seven targets. Now the former Bengals tight end CJ Uzoma, it was not him. It was his teammate Tyler Conklin with seven targets. In fact, I looked it through. I mentioned 62 tight ends so far have gotten targets this week, Colby Parkinson got some targets. 63 tight ends have gotten targets this week. CJ Uzoma was not one of them. He had zero targets. Yeah. So he was someone I was saying don't even draft, but if you did draft him, drop him. Yeah. You do not need tight ends with zero targets. And there were two tight ends on his own team that got targets and he didn't. Conklin had seven and then Lawrence Cager had one. So Uzoma's droppable for sure. Not even worth rostering. I don't even love picking up Ty Conklin, but I'd rather have Conklin than Uzoma. Like, I'll chase the targets. Kyle Pitts, I mentioned, had seven targets. Yep. Kylan Granson with seven targets. Now, Mo Alie-Cox did actually see some targets, but from this number, looking like Granson's the top tight end there. So Mo Alie-Cox, I've got him. I don't have many redraft leagues. I've got him only in dynasty leagues. Not someone I'd drop, but that would be something where I'm going to see if Granson's available in those dynasty leagues to try and replace Mo Alie-Cox, because I'd rather chase those targets again. And then to round out the top 12, Darren Waller at six targets and Logan Thomas, six targets. So looking healthy, coming off the injury. So those would be the guys that I'll be willing to hang on to. Like I wouldn't drop Logan Thomas to get Hayden Hurst, for instance. I might I might. I think I'd rather have that offense. That's the line, though. I think anyone above Thomas, and I mean, like, Conklin and Granson, no, but I assume you don't have them and not have Hurst. Like, that would be something where, like, they're all free agents, but Logan Thomas might be rostered. I might be willing to cut him for Hurst. That might be one where I'd try and see. I'd run two tight ends. I'd run Hurst and Thomas if I could, if that was really all I had. Sure. But anything below Thomas, anyone with less than six targets, I'm for sure no problem cutting for Hayden Hurst, because all the elite tight ends got at least six. So this is not something where there's an outlier somewhere and, there's a really good guy that didn't get targets. All the good guys that we expect, all the ones we expect to be difference makers, saw at least six targets this week.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, when you sent me this list, I had to look up where even Kylan Granson was. I got to be honest. I hadn't heard the name. But, yeah, I mean, for him to, come out week one, have seven targets, I mean, to be someone that Matt Ryan can count on. It's curious to try and find out if Ryan is leaning him. I mean, Ryan, obviously a veteran in the league. He's going to, go to people that he feels comfortable with. He certainly peppered Pittman plenty. But Granson, like I said, that was a name that I had not come across, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on and possibly hold on to, especially in the dynasty leagues, as you mentioned. If you have a Mo Alie-Cox or you need to replace one of these guys that are at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, because I think he's in his second year now with the Colts. Okay. So drafted him late last year. Like, he might have been a sixth, seventh round pick.
That was a new one to me.
But yeah, in terms of those players, and I don't know, do we throw Logan Thomas in there? Could he maybe, with the injury concerns, maybe not have gotten drafted? If we do, that's five tight ends that could reasonably be on waivers that could be picked up. So Higbee, Hurst, Conklin, Grantson, and Logan Thomas.
Definitely.
Knowing what you know about them, how would you rank them in terms of what the priority is for people to pick up?
I mean, I'm going to stick with you and go with Hayden Hurst as my number one priority. If you know, if that's what I need. I don't know if I'm sold on the Jets with Conklin, but I mean, he certainly showed out and got some targets. So I think Logan Thomas might have something going on in Washington. I mean, Wentz certainly needs someone to help him keep his job. So I think I would go, my three would be Hurst, Thomas, and then Conklin, and then kind of just go from there.
Yeah, I think the thing with Higbee is I don't expect him to get 11 targets most weeks. This seems like it was a tough matchup, which is why his production was low. So his production efficiency should go up, but I think his targets will go down. And so I think that's maybe our hesitation too. I'd go Hurst, Thomas 1-2, and probably Higbee 3.
Sure. Yeah. I forgot you mentioned Higbee, but yeah, that would be my,
Between Conklin and Grantson, I think I might rather just be tied to Matt Ryan as opposed to Joe Flacco, but both feel gross. So I think it doesn't matter. I think those would be 4 and 5 for me, but I think those would be, the tight ends to go pick up. I mean, and if, I'll continue on the list afterwards. Two tight ends got 5 targets. So maybe if you want to extend to the top 14 and then it really spreads out after them. Robert Tonyan got 5. Saints tight end Juwan Johnson got 5. Back to the teammates. I'm sure most people think Adam Trautman, not Juwan Johnson, just like CJ Uzoma. And I had to double check this. Adam Trautman had 0 targets. So my touchdown numbers favoring Johnson over Trautman so far have led just even pointed to more targets for Johnson than Trautman. And I mean, that could change week to week. Still feels like Taysom Hill's the guy you want to have there. He had the touchdowns and he clearly got the rushing attempts. So, I mean, just between those two, Robert Tonyan and Juwan Johnson, I think we both agree much rather have Robert Tonyan. Yes. He's like Logan Thomas, though, and maybe to a certain extent, Higbee as well. He might be rostered.
Right.
I'd probably rather have both. I think he's right there with Thomas. Probably would rather have them both over Higbee, to be honest, but maybe, I'm saying chase the targets, and Higbee had the most targets of tight ends. We should chase that, but it's also the nature of the targets and how inefficient he was does scare me a little bit.
Sure.
So, yeah. But then the list of tight ends with 4 targets, Evan Ingram, Dallas Goedert. Now here's the thing. I know happy about Gerald Everett, but Gerald Everett and Trey McKitty both got 4 targets. So yeah. And Everett getting red zone targets. So that's the good thing there. But just knowing that both Chargers tight ends had the same target. So it's funny how the goal line guide also predicted that, even though it wasn't Parham, it was whoever the tight end 2 was here, but same number of targets. Jonnu Smith, more targets than Hunter Henry. He had 4. Same with Jeff Swain had 4. Harrison Bryant had 4. So again, more target, the leading target on the Browns among tight ends. Isaiah Likely, the rookie tight end for Baltimore, had 4 targets, but 0 catches. So rookie tight end, that one I wouldn't look into much, but yeah, these are the guys where most of them probably aren't rostered. Ingram, Goddard, Everett, those 3 probably are on rosters and drafted. I certainly would have no problem cutting Evan Ingram. Seems like even Zay Jones was kind of ahead of him on the pecking order.
He was.
I'm someone who was anti Goddard anyway, where people drafted Goddard. I think it's going to be really tough for them to cut Goddard, but at the very least, even if you have Dallas Goedert, I would look to try and add Hayden Hurst. Yeah. And same with Gerald Everett, as much as I don't think I'd cut either of those 2 guys. I'm fine cutting Ingram. Those 2, I wouldn't cut, but I'd look to still be aggressive and try and grab Hayden Hurst and ride Hayden Hurst and have them as the backup tight ends.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I had a decision to make between Evan Ingram and Gerald Everett. And last minute, I switched it to Everett. I mean, I guess I kind of wanted someone to root for with the Jaguars. And I knew that they were really, kind of focused on him around the goal line. But I was like, I decided to go with the better offense. And it paid off. And Evan Ingram is going to be a casualty come tomorrow because I have to replace Dak. So he's going to be the one that I'm probably going to cut. But as far as, tight end, I mean, I'm not obviously completely sold on Gerald Everett. I mean, yes, I'm glad he got a touchdown, but yeah, I mean, as you can see, he only got had the four targets. Same with McKinney being in there in place, he got four as well. So, I mean, Herbert really spread the ball around yesterday. I mean, I've been hyping up Mike Williams all off season. He had a poor game. I'm certainly not stressing out about that as well. But Ingram would certainly be one to cut.
Yeah, and I think
replace. Yeah,
sorry, but yeah, the one thing with Everett is, it looks like Keenan Allen left with an injury, and they have a Thursday night game coming up. So that's one where, especially if Keenan Allen can't go, probably does mean more targets for Everett. So he's someone that even though he only had four targets, I might be willing to chase more than really basically everyone else that had four targets. And I mean, he's someone who's on the borderline. He probably was drafted, so probably not available. Certainly Dallas Goedert isn't available, I don't think, but maybe an Evan Ingram was. But yeah, those wouldn't be the guys I'd look to target. The one thing I will say with Dallas Goedert, I might take a loss right away, though, is he was more involved than Devontae Smith, who had, I think, a goose egg. He had zero catches. So I was saying, I'd much rather have Devontae Smith, and he was going later than Dallas Goedert. And okay, that wasn't the case with Smith, but still only four targets from Goddard. That is concerning. So I won't take a loss on my thinking that he was overrated. And again, I'd look to try and replace him with Hayden Hurst for sure. Logan Thomas, Logan Thomas only had two more targets than him. So maybe that's someone I, could understand certainly not wanting to drop Goddard, but even maybe not going to be aggressive to get Logan Thomas. But again, I think Hayden Hurst is such a great pickup this week. Maybe the best pickup among any position.
I completely agree with you, Kyle. I think if anything, if anybody gets anything from this podcast, I think that's the name that should be circled come tomorrow for sure.
Fifth in tight end targets in week one. I mean, I always say that every year, that tight end that emerges, that's just, they finish as the top five tight end. It starts right from week one. Who got the targets week one? Honestly, I think Dalton Schultz had seven or eight targets week one. So right in line with what Hurst had. And then that he was the tight end three, like it promoted him because he just kept getting that volume week in, week out. And, late season ACL tear from Michael Gallup probably influenced that to a certain extent. And so right now, concussion to T. Higgins opens the door for even more opportunity for Hurst. And, who knows, maybe Higgins clears concussion protocol. He comes back next game, but I don't know. I'd like to bank on that number of, if Hurst earned eight targets, earned goal line carries, they're not just going to go away from him. Like that's clearly part of the game plan. So let's see what they can do with that game plan. That this seems further than what like CJ Uzoma's role was last year. That was big play at times. There was a lot of touchdown upside on a lot of like big play potential. This seemed more manufactured. Like it can be more repeatable based on volume.
Yeah. I think Hurst is certainly more of a matchup, nightmare for other people. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to continue the rest of the year.
And I want to continue just talking tight ends. I guess I can go through all 58 tight ends that got targets if we really want to. But the tight ends with three targets include Ian Thomas, Hunter Henry, Johnny Munt, and Cameron Brate. Now the thing with Cameron Brate, Kyle Rudolph was inactive and Brate still only got three targets. It does kind of seem like that's just going to be what his and probably Rudolph's role is. Like that's kind of where they're kind of capped on, and they have Tom Brady. So there's touchdown upside in theory. You also need him to score touchdowns. Right. I think Brady only threw one touchdown pass. So, but again, I mentioned it, referenced it earlier, Jonnu Smith, four targets, Hunter Henry, three. I wouldn't necessarily overreact to that and say like, I'm not going to rank Jonnu Smith ahead of Hunter Henry this week, but also shows, I think Jacoby Myers led that team in targets. Like it and I think it was Myers and Parker. I'll just look that up real quick. But it does seem like, and it was the case last year. I mean, Myers had 126 targets. No one else had. No, I don't think anyone else hit 90. I think Hunter Henry may have hit 80 last year. But yeah, in terms of targets for this game. Jacoby Myers had six targets. Nelson Agholor was actually second on the team with five. Really spread it out to where, the players with more targets than Henry include Jacoby Myers, Jonnu Smith, Ty Montgomery, and he tied for targets with Damian Harris.
Wow.
So doesn't look like, you know, last year, I mean, his role was touchdowns. That was Hunter Henry's thing. So you can kind of still maybe chase the touchdowns with him. But I also know that, like, it seemed like Mac Jones left the game with some, like, back spasms, or there was a bit of an injury concern there. So if they're having to go to Brian Hoyer, I think that touchdown upside is sapped. So even though Hunter Henry is someone that I would have been willing to draft and would have put drafting in the, you know, in the mid rounds as you get to the double digit rounds, that's someone I'd probably be willing to cut. Again, specifically targeting Hayden Hurst, but even for guys like Tyler Higbee and maybe Kylan Granson. I mean, 7 targets out of nowhere for a second year tight end. Yep. With a, you know, new quarterback coming in, newly establishing the offense, who's going to be that number 2 guy behind Michael Pittman? And it's Kylan Granson. I think I'd be willing to drop Hunter Henry to go grab Kylan Granson. So, you know, guys with 2 targets, there's quite a list. I think there is basically as many tight ends with 2 targets as there were with 1. But I guess the standout names in terms of who was drafted include Mo Alie-Cox, talking about Kylan Granson. He only had 2. So, like, if I had Mo Alie-Cox on any redraft team, I'd look to try and drop him for Kylan Granson. Another guy I was really tallying a lot, Brad, Austin Hooper. He only had 2 targets. I know a couple teams I have him on, and I'm going to look to see which of the tight ends had more targets than him. And sure, I'm going to cut Austin Hooper. I mean, this is a guy especially look to smash early, because right, Robert Woods coming back from the ACL tear. You've got 2 rookies that are really, like, integral parts of the offense come on slowly. I figured Hooper would be leaned upon heavily in week 1, and 2 targets. So I know it seemed like the Titans offense was kind of out of sorts in general, but the 2 targets, I mean, I'm cutting Hooper the spots I have him. Again, and I'm talking specifically redraft. I think the dynasty leagues are so deep that, like, I'm not going to cut Mo Alie-Cox in any of the dynasty leagues I haven't been. I'm probably not going to play him. You know, like, I think I played him in, of the 6 leagues that had him in, I think I had played him in at least half. Not going to do that anymore. I'm going to look for other options. But yeah, redraft leagues got no problem cutting Mo Alie-Cox, no problem cutting Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
Irv Smith only had 2 targets. I don't think he caught either as well. Ryan Griffin had 2 targets. Cole Kmet only had 1. I have no problem cutting Cole Kmet either. This is maybe the one guy, just because of the offense it is, Dawson Knox had 2 targets.
Right.
Now, that was the problem last year. He did not do it on a lot of volume, just on touchdowns.
Right.
If people drafted him knowing that, then you knew if the idea was I want to play him every week just to try and capture touchdowns, you have to accept you're going to have bad weeks. Not someone I'd drop. But if I have Dawson Knox, I'm looking to pick up Hayden Hurst.
Sure.
Everyone should look to pick up Hayden Hurst. That's basically the point. Unless you've got Kelsey or Andrews, look to pick up Hayden Hurst.
Very well, very well. Yeah. Dawson Knox there, with, you know, just the 2 targets with that dynamic offense. They obviously put up some points, but yeah, I mean, he's certainly a touchdown dependent. Didn't seem like Allen really needed to look his way with those guys on the outside. And of course, Allen being able to run the ball pretty much at will. Knox is certainly a guy that would he be somebody that maybe you would target in a trade? Maybe someone's upset kind of thing.
I don't really like trading for tight ends.
Yeah, probably asked the wrong guy. I know.
Yeah, no, you definitely did. But I think in theory that works. But I also think, again, it comes back to, I'd rather just go pick up Hayden Hurst for free than trade an asset for Dawson Knox. So no, I would say no. I think my process is find the tight ends that are free to acquire, chase the targets, and go from there. So no, if I really want to give up capital and trade for a tight end, I want to go after a big one. You know who I might go after? George Kittle. Their manager is upset that they're injured. This is maybe the time to buy. That's something I'd rather do. Obviously, we don't know what his target share would be like. Probably wouldn't have been high in that game considering. Yeah. But yeah, that's more what I'd like to do if I was going to go buy low on anyone. I don't think Waller had a smash game. I think that's, again, 6 targets, 3 times more than what Knox had. That's maybe what I want to go do in terms of if I'm going to trade for any tight ends.
I got you.
But good question, because some people might be thinking that. Do you, you know, he was the tight end. What was he? I think he finished the tight end 5 last year. And, you know, bad week, he scored, I think, 2 fantasy points. He matched his targets. I could see that the temptation to want to trade for him. So that's a really good question, Brad, because there might be some of our listeners that are thinking exactly that.
Yeah. Okay.
We talked about some disappointments. Some of these tight ends got one target. And I already mentioned Cole Kmet, Mike Gesicki, David Njoku. And especially in Njoku, the fact that Harrison Bryant got four targets, that was concerning. For Mike Gesicki, it's Durham Smythe, even if it was only two targets, still had more targets than him.
Wow.
So Gesicki, that's a tough one, but I think I would drop him. It seems like he doesn't fit in terms of how this offense wants to run their tight ends.
Gotcha.
So he almost becomes just a big slot receiver instead on a team that already has a bunch of guys they seem to want to play in the slot. So I've got no problem cutting Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly living up to the label that you gave him a couple weeks ago or last week, whatever it is. I mean, yeah. Sure, they beat the Patriots. Nothing really jumped off the page necessarily, Jimmy, and certainly he was not part of it. So I think we saw a preview of what the Dolphins offense is going to be in 2022.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I was talking about, okay, Gesicki, Goddard, they're kind of the same guy. And so, okay, maybe there was a disparity in them. But I still think my point of Goddard was going too early. Goddard should have been going where Gesicki was going. And then Gesicki, based on this, shouldn't have been drafted. So that's all that ends up being. When it comes back to the tight ends with two targets, one interesting thing I wanted to mention, both the Texans' top tight ends got two targets, O.J. Howard and Brevin Jordan. Now, Howard got the two touchdowns.
He did, yeah.
But those were his only two targets. So it's also, like, that's the type of production you don't really want to chase. And I have a feeling O.J. Howard's going to be the number one tight end on waiver wires this week because he scored the most fantasy points. I don't hate picking him up in theory, but not the expense of I'd rather go pick up Hayden Hurst. I'd rather go pick up Tyler Higbee, Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyan even. Right? So again, chase the targets first.
Sure.
You know, if you're deciding between O.J. Howard and, okay, Evan Engram got four targets, O.J. Howard had two. Okay, that's a decision I can maybe see with the less targets. But again, my number was six. There were 12 tight ends with six targets. Theoretically, that's where you want to be as a, you know, in a 12 team league, you would want a top 12 tight end. Also knowing that usually tight end seven is not worth having anyway. Like it doesn't really make a difference. Like you're better off. You're just as good off with tight end 15 as you are tight end seven. But you know, as a nice cutoff point, you know, 12 tight ends with six targets, at least that should be the number you go and target. So again, look for the waiver wire, look for tight ends with six or more targets, especially if your tight end on your particular team did not get six targets in week one.
Yeah.
Those are the guys I really want to replace. And again, even if it's not direct replacement, if it's cutting someone else and running two tight ends, that's okay too. But just, again, I think having a guy you believe in shouldn't be a reason not to pick up Hayden Hurst. And then again, he's the guy I'm signaling out, but I guess it's probably not Fryerby, but maybe it's Higbee. Maybe it is Logan Thomas, right? But whoever that top tight end for you is, and I think Brad and I kind of agree right now, it's Hayden Hurst.
I agree.
The rest of the tight ends on the team shouldn't necessarily make that a factor. Again, unless you had Kelce or Andrews, those would be the two guys where I've drafted them so early, first, second round pick that I'm spending as much depth on other positions as possible to make up for that.
Sure.
Anything short. And I suppose Kyle Pitts is a third round pick. And I know George Kittle went early, but he's also injured. So you kind of almost have to replace him. So whoever you picked up to replace Kittle with, did they get more targets than Hayden Hurst? Probably not, since all the other guys that are ahead of Hurst and targets probably weren't available to be picked up. Like maybe exactly. Tyler Higbee. Yeah, that's one where Hurst is that guy to pick up. No matter who you have as tight end, if you have Hockenson or you have Waller, I might still go pick up Hurst just to maybe almost play defense a little bit. I've got kind of a not like the guys on the edge that we think they're difference makers. I don't want another manager joining that difference maker club and suddenly making what I have less valuable. So unless you've got Kelce or Andrews, I think every manager should be, and I'll say Pitts as well. Unless you have those three tight ends that you spent first three round picks on, go out and try and get Hayden Hurst on your team.
Yeah, no, I like it. And I'd like to kind of go back to a name that you already mentioned and I'm quite certain he was drafted in all the leagues, is Chicago's Cole Kmet. So, I mean, I know you mentioned that, you know, that was a sloppy game up there. Are you saying you're not willing to really give him another chance in that offense, or because I'm quite certain, like I said, every single draft I've been to, he got picked up somewhere. You know, pretty much because the name value alone, and probably all the hype that you see everywhere. But I mean, he's still one that you would kick to the curb for Hayden Hurst at this time. Oh yeah,
no hesitation whatsoever. I think part of it is there might be weeks where they throw more, but there's also weeks where they're probably the Bears will throw as much as they did here.
Right.
Certainly games where they're leading. Well, I guess they weren't leading going into the fourth quarter. They actually had to score in the fourth quarter to take that lead. But like that idea where they you know, they're going to be a run heavy team and the passing attempts will be low. And even then, you know, I think a lot of it was just their just total game attempts were low. Like they kept going three and out, not sustaining drives. So just not getting the opportunities to actually get those plays.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Griffin got more targets than him. And then back to my touchdown projection, when I was first doing all that, Ryan Griffin had better touchdown numbers than Cole Kmet. And I raised Cole Kmet artificially just thinking he's probably going to be number two on the team in targets, I think, as everyone thought. But looked like the other wide receivers were getting more targets than – and I mean, even Mooney seemed like he was bottled up heavily and wasn't heavily targeted. But it also seems like the 49ers are very conscious to take him away. So in a sense, Fields was smart to not force the ball to Mooney. Lesser defenses won't be able to do that successfully most weeks. So assume Mooney rebounds, but Cole Kmet wasn't the priority of that defense.
Right.
Like they were, I don't know. It's still, that's a lot that scares me. Like one target, like that's really scary, whatever the circumstances. And if it is because they don't throw much, well, that's probably going to be the case most of the year. Yeah. And if it is because Ryan Griffin's playing ahead of him, that's not great either. So I don't know. I think either way to look at it, Cole Kmet, like Gesicki, they probably went in similar draft ranges. And even though people drafted them, they shouldn't be afraid to move on from them. And maybe they've got, again, maybe someone has another player they can cut instead, or they have an injured player they can move to an IR spot, open up a spot to where you can pick up another tight end without dropping them. I guess that's fine. But if there's no one better to drop and that's the player to drop for a Hayden Hurst, I have no hesitation doing it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm right with you. I mean, Cole Kmet was definitely someone I was not looking. Probably should have mentioned him on the do not draft list episode that we had. But I mean, just really that whole offense. I mean, I'm not blown away. And obviously, I mean, just the, you know, that first week, you know, having the same amount of targets as Gesicki, you know, the guy that you have you know, blasted as well. I mean, I don't have a. I would not hold on to him, you know, even if he ended up on my team somehow in a draft, which I know I wouldn't have let happen. But, it's time to move on from him and, get one of these guys that we even – I mean, I would even take a Logan Thomas over him just because, like I said, I think Winston's going to look to him a little bit more as a safety valve. I mean, I know Samuel had a nice game. They have McLaurin, and, you know, they got some running backs that can catch the ball. But, I mean, Thomas is a nice little could be a nice little target for Wentz, you know, as the year progresses. So it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen with him.
Well, because there was that season a couple years ago where Logan Thomas had, like
– volume, yeah.
It was – I think he had over 100 targets.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
It was – he was up there. Like, I think he might have had 90 catches or something. I can look up the numbers specifically, but I don't think he's going to get to that as the number two target of the team simply because, I mean, there's a name you didn't mention, Jahan Dotson, as a rookie. It seems like he's come out right away, and it's McLaurin and Dotson. Those are the top two guys. Normally, that's what you want to target with the tight end. So Logan Thomas won't necessarily be that, but I think I would also have more faith than in Cole Kmet. I wouldn't have avoided Cole Kmet in drafts. I think I got him in one league. I thought he was going okay, but I think the assumption was that he was going to be number two in the team in targets. Right. And one target week one is not looking good for that. So I'll have to see with that league. I know that's a league where there's a lot of flex spots and there's two tight ends get 2 points per reception. Like there's a big premium. So I've got like 4 or 5 tight ends rostered. So
yeah,
but I might still cut him in that league if Hayden Hurst is out there. I'd be probably not. I think in that league, there's a lot of these tight ends that we would look to aren't because of the format. So many people drafted more tight ends, but I'll still go and take a look and see which tight ends got targets. And, you know, maybe there's another player on my team I cut instead of Cole Kmet, but he's in that particular league I have him in. I think it's the only spot. I could see myself still cutting him if there are enough tight ends out there that got the targets. So I'll have to check the waivers for that and encourage everyone in their leagues to do so as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I mean, it's tomorrow's a busy day for everybody. So yeah, get out there and get your Hayden Hurst, everyone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any, you know, because last year, anyone who spent huge on Elijah Mitchell after week one was actually rewarded for most of the season. So I'm trying to think, is there someone that showed that this week? And I don't think there is through any of the games in terms of, like, for instance, like a running back that really stood out. That would, like, wouldn't have been drafted. Because obviously, I think like Cordarrelle Patterson's performance stood out, but he would have been drafted in most leagues, I think. And I know, like, well, with Elijah Mitchell, there's the fact that he got injured, so maybe like that's also the opportunity. So is it Jeff Wilson or Jordan Mason? Like those guys are kind of are pickups. Right. I think I might still prioritize Hayden Hurst though, in with that upside. I'm just going through each of the teams right now, and I don't see anyone that I think screams has like because Elijah Mitchell had something like 20 carries in week one. Like he got the volume immediately. And like they showed that this was their plan from week one. He's our best guy. We're going to use him a ton. I don't know that happened this year with any running back. So I don't know that you necessarily need to be as aggressive week one as a lot with Elijah Mitchell last year. But I still think being aggressive early in the season will be an advantage to people. And maybe that isn't necessarily week one. Maybe there's something that emerges next week. So I think for now, again, being aggressive on the tight ends right from week one is something that I find is an advantage every year. So that's where I would stick to this week as Hayden Hurst is maybe being the number one pickup on the waiver wire this week for week one.
I like it. And and as you mentioned, he may not be in the minds of everybody else because those, couple touchdowns from OJ Howard, that's going to stand out. I'm sure there's some leagues where he's not rostered and that target share was huge, but the production, you know, what would you say, 38 yards? That's not going to help.
Yeah, for sure. And that's our week two waiver wires episode, but not something we normally do, but again, I also thought that it's important to look at specifically tight end targets after week one. Maybe something emerges to where we want to record something again during Monday Night Football after week two, or during week two, I suppose, and see if there's something that we want to look forward to waiver wires week three, if there's a player that really stands out, if we feel like we need to. Not sure yet if we will do something, but this was something that I had been planning beforehand to look at all this tight end information anyway and wanted to share it regardless. But the Hayden Hurst thing really stood out to me as, okay, this has to be almost this is the Hayden Hurst episode, folks.
It is. It is. Yeah, no, I like it. I like this. I like the format. I like the preview and I definitely like the name and it should be someone that people should be targeting.
Absolutely. And just to shout out Hayden Hurst. I know he does a lot for mental health. He's got the Hayden Hurst Foundation. He and his mom started that. I know that like his mental health is something he struggled with when he was playing professional baseball. And that's why as a bit of an older prospect went back to college and actually got first round draft capital as a tight end in the NFL. So he's made the most of that because it's like, I've heard interviews with Hayden Hurst and sound like, you know, his first love was baseball. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he was on track to do. And then eventually he says he got the yips and got it so bad that it affected the rest of his life, the rest of his everyday life. And so getting out of that situation, but still as an athlete, still being able to find a way to kind of persevere as a professional athlete, even if it's a different sport, is actually a really good testament to Hayden Hurst as just an athlete in general. And so kudos to him. Someone, you know, I'm a big personal fan of his in terms of just him as a person. So easy to root for in that sense. And definitely be easy to root for if he's on your fantasy teams a lot too. So that'll really help.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I mean, I knew a little bit of the details with Hurst because he's actually from the Jacksonville area. I've definitely heard the name, but I didn't know it was I didn't know all those details. So I appreciate you sharing that. That was fantastic. Thank you.
And I appreciate getting to podcast with you again, Brad. It's been about a full week. So we'll be back, I guess, like for us a couple days from now, just to more properly preview the week two matchups like we normally do going into the season. I guess a little bit of a different start to the season here. We didn't really have a week one preview. You know, last week I talked about my most rostered players, funny enough, two episodes in a row that were really focused on the Bengals. Last episode was Tyler Boyd for me.
Okay.
I know we did share your list of most rostered players. I guess Dak was your most rostered quarterback. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
He's up there for me too. So I feel your pain. Mm-hmm. But was there one player out of that list that you had in more leagues than the rest? Like, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, it's probably Mike Williams. I've been all in on Mike Williams pretty much all off season. I had a feeling that this was the year that he was going to take over there. Granted, week one didn't really shake out that way, but I mean, Herbert was spraying the ball all over the place, and he only threw 34 passes. So I'm thinking when it is going to be more of a back and forth game, which the AFC West is going to be. I mean, you previewed the big game this Thursday with the Chiefs, I think.
Yep.
And the possibility with Allen not being there. I feel okay. I'm certainly not overreacting with Mike Williams, but to answer your question, yes, he is my most rostered player.
Okay, so yeah. And I think Williams is someone that, and I mean, you know, you're probably good, like, but I think to anyone who has kind of portfolio approach, it's the level of, okay, especially who's your most rostered player? Are you playing them in every league?
Right.
I think Mike Williams, especially if Keenan Allen's out for, I know, like, talking to Doc on the Monday night preview show on the Going for Two Live Network, and he was talking about the hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Could theoretically keep him out an entire month.
Oh, wow.
Like if it's severe enough, we really don't know the details of how severe the hamstring injury is, but certainly doesn't look good for Thursday night. Like, so we can at least probably expect him to be out one game, which should help Mike Williams, because they also seems like they had a lot of other targets emerge and produce to kind of maybe draw away from Mike Williams, that even though he is the number one, he won't also get completely blanket coverage. They can't leave everyone else open. Herbert will find them and exploit them. You know, the success of the rest of the team without Williams doing well last week, it should in theory help Williams this Thursday, but again, we'll have to see.
All right.
Because I know for myself with Tyler Boyd, for instance, my most rostered player, I didn't play him every league. He did score a touchdown, so there may have been a couple leagues where I would have actually preferred to play him, but that's one where like I had 9 shares of Tyler Boyd, 8 shares of Diontae Johnson. Now, Diontae's someone that I played him everywhere. So I got 12 targets from him in a bunch of leagues. Although, you know, 7 catches, 55 yards, maybe not the greatest, but, you know, at least something. And again, 12 targets looks nice. So for like that, like Diontae's someone I would play every league I have him in. And I think Mike Williams fits in that too. Tyler Boyd, I think, is a little lower to where, okay, justify picking and choosing the best spots to play him in theory, or where, okay, league where I'm deeper at receiver and I've got other options, okay, don't play him there. But the leagues where, okay, I really actually do need him to emerge and play as a receiver, it's deeper starting requirements, okay, that those are definitely the leagues to play him in. So I'll do that too sometimes with certain players. And I actually think I explained that on the last episode, so it's been a deja vu for people. I guess one last nugget that you pulled up was last year's draft accuracy rankings. And I guess I actually did a pretty good in one area that I didn't really know about until just now. You know, even though this stuff would have come out probably in January, February, when the season ended. You know, I guess I'm a little humble, but I'm not going to necessarily look for all these accolades. But you found out I was one of the 3 closest ranked experts on the Fantasy Pros expert consensus ranking pre-draft anyway. Because I wasn't in the weekly competition last year, but the pre-draft rankings, I think I was like one of the 3 closest on Christian Kirk. I think I had him at wide receiver 41, and he finished just inside the top 40. I think someone had him, I think he finished 36 or 37. Someone had him at 35, and then there's a couple of us had him at 41. So I speak for a specific player. I was, and I mean, this is 230 rankers in this competition. So out of 230 people, I was like the 3rd closest on Christian Kirk. And then the other thing was, I was pretty bad in quarterback rankings. I was, I think, 201st. So not great ranking quarterbacks. I'd imagine I just ranked Justin Fields too high. That's probably what that was. No, but I was out of 230 rankers, 9th in running backs. And this is all running backs across the board from, you know, pre-rankings based to where they finished. And so I'm sure guys like James Conner I had much higher than consensus on. That really helped. Same with Devin Singletary. Like, so the guys I kind of won with last year probably also helped me with that ranking. So ninth, you know, top 10 is actually, it's not too shabby to do it at a specific position. You know, 10 people like kind of normally would put that type of thing in their bio. So that's worthy enough. So I just want to pat myself on the back, and thanks Brad for finding all that, 'cause I had no idea. So thank you.
No, yeah, you absolutely deserve a pat on the back. It was really cool. I was just like flipping through the internet, and I typed in Christian Kirk, and I saw Kyle's name there. I was like, oh man, that's pretty cool, man. And so I didn't know about the other stuff. That's pretty great. Good stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Once you showed me that, I was like, hey, what else am I like? Did I do good on or absolutely cool. horrible on? So I went and dug and found that out. Like, yeah, okay. Ninth out of 230 rankers, and these are like a lot of people that work for Going for Two. Like, there's like when you say expert consensus rankers, this is like the full-time fantasy pros employees, everyone that's on their podcast, like a lot of like really, you know, big high stakes heavy industry people ranking. And so to get ninth out of running backs, which again, that kind of helped me last year, was the running back position. So
certainly.
Yeah, I'm glad that success translated there. Hopefully I was able to help the listeners, viewers, at least with running backs. And hopefully, I guess this week we're focusing on tight ends, so hopefully we were able to help you out.
On him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and if anyone has any week one strategies they want to share with us, or any players on the list that they're maybe surprised with targets, or want something else about tight ends, just feel free to let us know on Twitter at @FPC_fantasypod. You can also follow your co-host individually. Brad's @TheRundown_BH. I'm @SenraSays. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. It gives you access to all the great Full Press Coverage content, which is available, again, for free. You know, you obviously go through the website for it, but if you get the app, you get all the writing from the website, all the articles that are posted there, as well as all the podcasts, access the Full Press Radio Network. So download the Full Press Coverage app for free today. Also, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Wallet as our intro and outro music. So really appreciate PA for that, and encourage everyone to check out his latest album, Illa V, available wherever you download music. So Brad, any final thoughts for the listeners?
No, it's been great chatting with you again. We're through week one. Don't anybody overreact out there. Go hit your waiver wires and pick up Hayden Hurst. And just remember, you heard it here first, guys.
Here first about Hayden Hurst, right?
There you go. I didn't want to try that. I'm glad you did.
Well, I mean, you basically did try it, to be honest. So you did it more, I guess maybe more naturally. I was just like in your face about it. So smooth. But to your point, Brad, don't overreact, but properly react. So there are some things to quote unquote overreact about. And the first thing I'm going to say is overreact about the tight end targets. You know, overreact that Cole Kmet only had one target and, preemptive, you know, Cole Kmet and Mike Gesicki in particular, those are what people might call a sabotage drop. You pick them, you drop them hoping some other manager picks them up. Yep. And maybe they blow up and become something, but those both look like situations where I want someone else to have them on their team and start them every week, thinking that they might get some. Oh, Gesicki, this guy was drafted, or commit, this guy was drafted. I want my opponent to play them against me every week. Maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe I'm overreacting to week one, but I don't know. From my experience in fantasy, the tight ends who get targets early tend to get targets throughout the season. They're getting targets for a reason. So I think targets are earned, and hopefully we earned everyone listening through this episode and really enjoying that. We've given ourselves a bit of praise here, but hopefully that praise is earned. I love talking with you again, Brad. I love that the season's here. Can't wait to keep going.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, we'll be at it again in a couple days. Sounds great.
Absolutely, and tune in next time on the Full Press Fantasy Pod.